This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now we're talking some Halloween music, people. I don't think this was ever in Casey's top 40, but I'll tell you what, it's a scary damn theme song.
I think we'd have to do all top 40. I don't see anybody rolling around the streets of H-Town bumping this in their ride.
Tonight they will be.
Yeah, that's probably a good. It's a good song to play on a hayride.
A couple 12s in the back.
Just bumping that Michael Myers remix.
Ounces or...
Oh. You know what we forgot to do?
What?
I forgot to give you the betting odds for the coaches for the Browns. We got all into the Rockets and got heated. And we teased it. So let me get that out of the way. Since I teased it. And then we can go back and bitch about the Rockets some more if y'all want.
Okay. I'm not bitching about it. See, that's why I get that misconception and stereotype.
All of us were bitching. What are you talking about?
I'm just being honest.
You still hate them, but yeah, you're being honest.
Yeah, that's true. You all go.
I mean, it's...
Tad Brown for mayor.
We can tell.
It's big enough.
You drool when you talk about them.
Yeah, spit a lot. Spit. Yeah.
All right. So, according to Odds Shark, the leader in the clubhouse for the Browns head coaching job, the coach with the best odds to be the next full-time coach of the Cleveland Browns, Sean McVay.
How is that possible? And why exactly would he leave? He's got the hot model chick. He loves the L.A. lifestyle. He's got the...
He's a plus 200, slightly ahead of Lincoln Riley, who is a plus 225. Zach Taylor is third at plus 550. The reason that this article gives is maybe it's because McVay is an Ohio guy. His dad apparently attended the Miami University in Ohio. His grandfather played for Miami, coached at the University of Dayton. So he's got Ohio roots. He's got Ohio blood. That's a stretch, though. When you're
got an
go,
L.A. girlfriend, I think you're
gonna
better go than anything you're going to find in Ohio.
You're going to go from Darnold, Goff, Gurley, and that lineup on both sides of that football to the Browns. No, I don't think so. But, I mean, you know, Vegas knows stuff we don't a lot.
That's true.
So to check
I'd say
in
that's
at
that's false, though.
To check in at a plus 200, I don't think that would be my bet. I'll tell you some value. You want some value on the board? Jim Harbaugh is a plus 1,200.
You know,
I would take that as a value bet.
Paul Feinbaum and others this morning were eating some crow because they have to admit that they think that they were wrong on Harbaugh because of what he's doing this year at Michigan. But the bottom line is, no matter what he does at Michigan, he was better when he was head coach of the Niners.
Yeah.
And some coaches are just as good as they may be in college, but the recruiting game is a different animal in itself. And you know, the pressure to win and all the, everything that they have facility-wise and how much time, the practice times. I think Harbaugh is a better pro coach, and I think Harbaugh could turn a team around pretty quickly.
They have Belichick at plus 2,000.
That ain't happening. He was there once.
Belichick at plus 2,000 and Sean McVay at plus 200, sandwiched in between a bunch of other names. I think Lincoln Riley is probably the name that's going to be at the top of the list. And then, you know, Jim Harbaugh is probably a good value bet. So, okay.
All right.
Got that out of the way.
Good
I
job.
Teased it and promised it, so
it
there it was.
So weird. All right, let's go. You want to get some phone calls?
Yeah,
all right, let's do it. We were talking Rockets, so let's get Mario in here on Carmelo. What's up?
Hey, how y'all guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
All righty. Yeah, I haven't really watched a lot of Rockets this season. I've been baseball and football, but just listen to the media and watch one game. It seems like, to me, the local Houston media is vilifying Carmelo Anthony just because of past history as well with the other teams. And we only paid him, we didn't pay him $30 million. We paid him $2.5
million. Right.
I mean, he is buying into the system. He's not being a problem like Jimmy Butler. I mean, I don't know why we're making it a bigger deal than we knew what we were buying when we bought it.
Right, but Mario, is he really buying into the system? Because Nick just got done telling you when he's in the locker room every night, and we see it and we hear it. You want to hear from Chris Paul and James Harden, win, lose, or draw. And the number one guy that everybody is waiting to hear from, that is the center of attention in the post-game media segments, is Carmelo Anthony. And all we got to hear about is, it's going to be a huge adjustment for me to come off the bench. And it's going to be, there's a lot of mental things that I've got to process. You know what? This is what you signed up for too. You had a choice to go anywhere after you got bought out by the Hawks. So if you're signing up for a team that's supposed to be a Western Conference champion contender, and I mean, this is what you're giving them? It's not good.
I didn't hear that in his interview. The last couple of interviews.
Oh, God, not the last one, but this was earlier in a week into the season when they were asking about coming off the bench.
Well, I mean, what I heard, like last night's interview and the one before that was more of a, when we get a win, we'll get our swagger back. We're okay. I'm in this locker room, I can tell you. There's still a lot of I in it, which is why I questioned, why is he the face of the Rockets right now? Why, even with a hurt James Harden, Chris Paul's on the floor, why can't he be the face of the... Why is Carmelo Anthony, after six games or seven games, the face of this franchise right now? That doesn't make any sense to me. But to his credit, he was talking a lot of team. But my thing is I don't want to see him.
Well, the deal is to... And when I said Carmelo Anthony, he's the last person to speak, yes. So to answer Mario's question, local media... Like, I think it's important for us to, every time we talk about Carmelo, to clarify that we're not blaming him for the performance of the Houston Rockets. I actually believe
he has a hand in it. Right. Yeah.
But I actually believe he's sold. I actually feel like he's playing. That's the other good thing I feel like I didn't mention is he's playing with an effort. He actually is playing with a fire under his ass. He really is. He's just not fitting the system very well. And Mario, none of us have blamed Melo for the reason why the Rockets are playing the way they are. The Rockets are not playing because they're a different team. That's why they're not playing.
I mean, I would blame it on three losses. You pointed out in the previous segment, Jeff Bezdelic, and you pointed out Trevor Ariza and Luka Mbamute. That's what I would blame as this team not playing well.
Right, and if you want to hear from the stars, that's fine. The reason why Melo was a big discussion, because he is the story. From a national perspective, he is the story. The media made him the guy. Harden is obviously not going to talk after that game because he didn't play. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Chris Paul was available,
I'm not talking about the last game specifically. I'm talking about one of the I think is the first and the second home game that you got that. And I'm with you, Barry. That's what I've been harping on the whole time. The three losses are exactly what I've been harping on the entire time, and that is people underestimated the value of the two guys that could defend and make threes, and how valuable Jeff Bezdelic was, and. If you want to put blame on this team in order of the most significant things that are going wrong, the defense has to be number one. The roster has to be number two, because whether it's your point on people don't know who they are and there's no attachment to them and you're trying to figure out what they're doing. But more specifically, they just don't fit the Rockets system. Not that they're not NBA players. They just don't fit the system the Rockets have been running and running well. And then you get into the Melo and the misplacement of the players that you do have on the roster and the roles that they're playing and the fact that it's hurting others. I think Gerald Green has been hurt significantly by the fact that he's had to take an even lesser role because you have two dominant guys with the ball in EG and Carmelo coming off the bench.
Well, I mean, you guys are kind of dancing around. I'm blaming Carmelo for a lot of this. You guys are saying you're not. No. I mean, I watched the first quarter.
I'm not blaming him as the top priority. I'm blaming defense and
roster. I watched the first quarter of that game. How do you leave CJ McCollum wide open to shoot threes in transition? That's just a terrible. That's terrible defense by a guy that we know is a terrible defender. If you take what you've said and you compound it with what he's doing, then he is a big reason why this team sucks right now. I mean, if he's taking away minutes and confidence from guys like Gerald Green and Eric Gordon, who were key contributors to this team last year, because he's on the floor and demands the ball and has to be the second option, and he's not producing, he's hitting mid-range jumpers, which is not what this offense is. And that combined with his inability to play quality defense, he is a big reason why this team sucks right now. This team was better without him than they are with him.
Oh, I completely agree with that.
There's no question that he is a liability on defense, and he continues to show it. I think the reality is he's just not good at it.
But, guys, the reason why they brought him in was to be the next big scorer that they needed. The thing is, you kind of accept some of the bad defense if he scores. Look at his line last night. It was horse bleep, and he's not shooting a good percentage, and he's not shooting the shots. So, Barry, I guess you're right. To some degree, you're right. Because my first point as to why this team is struggling is defense. But if he's not going to play it...
But when you have guys like Gary Clark, who has no experience in the league, and you got Isaiah, who's got no experience, and Michael Carter Williams is a massive liability at the point, you can't just blame it on Melo. You just can't.
I blame Daryl Morey.
I don't even.
Constructed
that's
this
just
roster.
My personal opinion, but there's no question the Rockets were better without him. But he's not the reason to blame. And the way I would like to word it is the Rockets are wrong for trying to go out and get Carmelo Anthony. It's not Carmelo Anthony's fault the Rockets are playing the way they are. That's how I would word it. Because there's too many other players on this team, and the landscape of the roster is completely different. It's just different.
To give you an idea, PER is like it's like WAR in baseball, and WAR is just a measure of the value of a guy while he's it's in basketball. It's player efficiency rating, and it's just basically a measure of the quality of the individual player on the team on the floor. To give you an idea, James Harden is a 26.2 PER. Chris Paul is a 20.0 PER. Carmelo Anthony right now is a 9.9 to go along with guys that are sub 10. Michael Carter Williams, James Ennis, Eric Gordon, and Marquise Chris. That tells you the companies. Eric Gordon is another one at 6.7.
That's the big.
Those two guys, though, that's a liability. When you're playing at that level, when guys like Gary Clark has a better efficiency rating than Carmelo Anthony, and you've said he's not good. Like this team right now, man, it's two dudes, and sometimes Capella shows up, and sometimes he doesn't. They're in a bad spot right now, and. Somebody asked the question on the text line, and we can get to that if you want. But they said, does Jimmy Butler make this team better immediately?
Does he make them better?
We'll have to. I mean,
that's something you can really kick around. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Miko, Ernest, we see you. If you want to join the show and get something off your mind that you've had on your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here up until 4 o'clock. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. Head. Can you call?
Ghostbusters! ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number 2, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday on Halloween. So, of course, that's the theme pre-2008. Barry had hour number 1. I have hour number 2. Nick has hour number 3. So, before the break, we were getting into a little honest discussion about the hometown basketball team because some people get a little bit of their underwear bundled up when you are honest about this team.
Yeah. One of the things that the caller had mentioned was he thinks the media is vilifying Carmelo Anthony. Keep in mind that pretty much after Denver, he's been a pariah everywhere he's gone. He lasted 1 year in OKC. They couldn't wait to get him out of that city.
All you got to do is take every quote you've heard from Carmelo last year and this year and compare them. They're almost identical. It's not him. It's them.
He was not wanted in New York City after a couple of years. They couldn't stand him there. He lasted a single year in OKC, and that'll probably be the same thing here. This experiment.
I mean, he was in New York for like 7 years. Season.
Yeah, he was. But towards the end, the last 4 or 5 years, they could not wait to get rid. Because the first couple of years, it was still some leftover remnants of Carmelo in Denver, so they could deal with that. But then the last 4 years, it just became this selfishness, and they sucked, and he was a big part of that. So
here's the thing. It's about, as you get older in your career, it's about transitioning to a different role, right, for most players. Even Eric Gordon, who was at one point a college star, who at the Clippers was a go-to guy, has accepted and excelled at taking a lesser role. If you look at Carmelo Anthony from Syracuse on, it's always been, he's the man, he gets the ball, he takes the shots, he does it all. He did it with the Nuggets. He did it with the Knicks. Now in Oklahoma City and now and again in Houston, you're asking him to take a different role, and maybe he tries to say the right things, and even then he really doesn't, but he's not willing to do what's necessary to not only prolong his career, but to avoid the negative criticism and to help a team succeed and win for the first time in his career since college when he won a national title. And he's just, he's not willing to put that effort in and make that adjustment in his game to excel with a team, although he says the right things. So it's, you know, we can go round and round on this, but the fact of the matter is it's all not working right now, and he's in the center of all that's not working.
Yeah.
So Miko wants to get in here. It says, thank the Rockets. I'm sure there's some sarcasm in there, Miko, but what's up?
What up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, real quick, man. Like, last couple of years, my girl's been on me that I'd be watching too much Rockets, too much Texans, too much Astros, and we ain't spending enough time. So I want to thank the Rockets, man, for being so booty right now that I can spend some time with my girl, and she ain't got to gripe at me for watching too many TV shows, too many Rockets, man. So I want to thank the Rockets right now.
That is fantastic.
Great call, Miko. That's the kind of honesty I'm talking about.
Being so booty right now. Somebody else texted the show and said, hey, I got double love for the Rockets. I put my money on Portland Moneyline and just sat back and watched after quarter number one. I mean, when you look at it, didn't they hold the Blazers to like 19 in the first and 19 in the fourth?
They held themselves to 15 by shooting.
They didn't score either. That was the problem.
27%.
Yeah.
That would have never happened if Luke Mbamute was here.
Never, and here's ever, the other ever. Thing, because we go back on those two guys. The fact of the matter is Luke was an unequivocal mess in the playoffs.
Sure.
But during the regular season, he did his job.
You could argue that he was the Marwin Gonzalez of this team.
Correct. Same thing with Trevor Ariza. Everybody just wants to reflect on Game 7 against the Warriors because that was the biggest game of the year, and he didn't make a three and didn't make his shots. But when you look at the consistency over the course of a season, his three-point shooting, especially when they break it down in the analytics to every time he had an open corner three or an open three, he was an above-average three-point shooter. He was still, when you look at the numbers, an above-average on-ball defender. And more importantly, he knew how to play conceptual team defense, rotations, switches, all the things that Bezdelic was preaching. So did Luke. So you add that to your best defender in P.J. Tucker. You add it to your rim protector that is Clint Capella. And then you add a guy that is close to leading the league in steals in Chris Paul. You play defense. Now, three-fifths of that little plan included, and then when you throw in the coach as well, you know, half of what you did defensively well is gone.
Yep.
And that starts the evil train cycling in a downward spiral. So that's the best we can say about
it. So we asked the question going into the break, or I asked you because a listener texted us and said, does Jimmy Butler fix the Rockets?
There's a difference there, right? Does he fix them, or does he instantaneously make them better? Because before the break, I think you said, Does he make unequivocally? Or
does
whatever
he solve the problem?
Does he make
is Jimmy
he
Butler
does
the
not
solution?
Solve the problem. He does make them instantly better, but it's not just one player that's going to turn this around, in my opinion.
So, I think there's two moves out there for the Rockets to make, and you mentioned one of them, and Kyle Korver. And I think they need a guy that can knock down a three. They need a guy. Last year, you know, you had a plethora of guys that you could count on to knock down. You don't have those shooters anymore. Now, he's not a great defender, but he is a good defender. Not great, maybe even above average and maybe not good, but he's not terrible. He's not like the defense that's being played right now outside of maybe Chris Paul and P.J. Tucker.
Korver you're talking about.
Kyle Korver.
He's got size, so at least he gives you a little
thump. He can defend the ball. He's a decent on-ball defender. But he can knock down the three, and then I think if you added Jimmy Butler as well, if you can somehow figure out how to add those guys. Because like you said, if Eric Gordon is broken, if he didn't want to be here because he didn't want to, you know, be with Carmelo Anthony, it's going to be bad all year long. So if you could figure out, if you could swap out Eric Gordon and some of these, man, I don't even want to start throwing around the B word, some of these bums that that are on this team that aren't contributing at all, and even just add those two guys. If you would have told me going into this year, hey, look, you're going to lose Ariza and Mbamute, but we'll replace them with, or you'll lose Ariza and Mbamute and Gordon and replace them with Jimmy Butler and Kyle Korver. Are you better? You're not as bad, but right now you've lost two of those guys and you didn't replace them with anything.
And here's the other thing. The biggest thing that you have to take into consideration on top of what you said is people don't value enough the loss of Bezdelic.
Yeah,
because of his experience veteran players bought into what he was saying, and they laid their ass on the line for him on an end of the floor that most people don't want to do.
Yep.
And so that's something that's really sorely missed.
Yeah. And do you think that they'll add another defensive coach? I mean, that doesn't happen a lot in the middle of the season. I think it's too late.
In the middle of the season, I don't think you can do it. You know, they added John Lucas to the front of the bench. Luke's a great motivational guy. Luke's a great...
He can teach free throws.
And he can teach a lot of things on the offensive end. But defensively, yeah. Roy Rogers and Matt Braze are not going to get the attention and the buy-in from guys that don't respect them.
Yep.
So we'll continue to roll on. If there's something you want to get in on the Rockets, let us know. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. By the way, did you see an ex-Rocket live up to his Rocket-like standards when it comes to the Thunder and Russell Westbrook last night? Because Pat Bev and Russell Westbrook got into it.
Still love it.
Loved every bit.
Absolutely. You know what else I love? Drinking. I like to drink a little bit.
Cheers, my friend.
And, you know, one of the things that, as I get older, I'm 44 now. I'll be 45 in May. And drinking isn't as easy as it used to be. Drinking can be a young man's game, let's say. You know, I don't feel like I did when I was in my 20s and I had a few drinks the next night or the next morning. And thank goodness there's Thrive Plus, because with Thrive Plus, I feel way better than I normally would if I didn't take it. Seriously, two or three drinks and I'm hurting the next day. And that's why Thrive Plus comes in, because it's a vitamin you take whenever you drink alcohol. And it's super easy. You take three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. And its sole job while you sleep is to reduce alcohol's negative effects on your liver. It processes the alcohol and the toxic byproducts. And you know what? It makes you feel better the next day. That's what I don't know all the fancy stuff, but I can tell you this. I wake up and I feel better. And don't take my word for it. You've seen it on Shark Tank. It was featured on Shark Tank. They've got PhDs on staff, five of them to be exact. They're Ivy League graduates on staff with Thrive Plus. They know what they're doing. And if you don't feel 50% better the next day, they'll give you your money back. So whether you're having one drink, five drinks, take three capsules of Thrive Plus, feel better the next day. It's that simple. You're going to feel better, and your liver and your body's going to thank you for it. And also, Thrive Plus is a Houston-based company. So if you guys that can hear my voice, order it before 4 p.m., you'll get it on your doorstep the next day. How cool is that? Order it before 4 p.m. It's on your door tomorrow. It's that simple. Go to DecideThrive.com to get your order in. That's DecideThrive.com. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the big show on Halloween. It is The Usual Suspects. It's Way Back Wednesday. We are doing, of course, Halloween-themed music. Barry had hour number one. I have hour number two. Nick, are you posting the lists?
I did, and the poll is up.
I'm kind of surprised.
We're doing a poll?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm kind of surprised you guys didn't call me out on one of my songs.
I would have to care that much.
Oh. All right.
You know I'm not going to go through that.
Oh, stop it.
What?
Only when you guys go at me first.
Oh,
not even okay. True. I know I you are dragging up the ass bottom, and you guys still try and get me DQ'd.
That's fun for us.
Yeah, of course it is. At least he admits it.
I was waiting for one of y'all to be like, what the hell is Halloween about the Ghetto Boys? Mind playing tricks on me?
I really did think about that, but I didn't. I was like, I'm not going to sit there and question it. Like, what am I going to say? Plus, you pick that song a lot for multiple themes.
Yeah.
You love that song.
Third verse.
What does he say?
Bushwick Bill. Pull it up. You'll see.
We're good. We don't have to pull it up.
Bushwack? No. Yeah.
Bushwhackers. That's good. Why. He's fine.
I'm not saying he has to play it, but if you know the song, you know what the third verse is.
Just
with
say it.
Bushwick Bill. No, I'll let him figure it out. But that's why I chose. And the listeners, I'm not going to give this
Nick,
away.
You didn't want to come out of this with homework. You don't want to go
away.
And research this.
I'm not going to give it away. Do your research. Juan wants to know, Steeler fan Juan wants to know, what's a better costume, a drunken Supreme Court judge or the ghost of Le'Veon Bell? That's pretty good, actually.
That is a pretty good one.
Yeah, not bad, Steelers fan Juan. Robert and Tomball said, maybe the Rockets are throwing games to make those draft picks look more valuable.
No.
Ah, you're on to something there, pal.
Is he?
No. Like Joel Blank just mentioned, all player moves are Daryl Morey's responsibility. Remember when Melo went to the Knicks, Morey tried like crazy to get him, and I wasn't on board then.
I wasn't either, but here's what I said. When you go after, it's like, and I made the comparison to the stock market. When you go after to a stock when it's at its, when it's getting ready to peak, when you're playing at your best, that's one thing. That's when they first started this pursuit of Melo. But it's an obsession with some people. And by the time you actually get the stock, it's already run its course and you're overpaying for under return on investment. That's what you got with Carmelo Anthony. You were so obsessed with him that by the time you actually got him on your roster, he's not even a shell of what he used to be.
But how much of this is them being realistic in that they knew they weren't going to get some of the big names in the offseason like LeBron or the Paul Georges or the... They knew that. And so they were basically fighting for what was left. And this is not me defending the Rockets at all.
Were they, though?
Because when you change ownership, you would think, okay, the love affair for Carmelo would be over. But someone had to sell Tillman.
Because Daryl stayed. So Daryl maintained that love
affair. So that means someone had to sell Tillman on the fact that they're going to go and pursue Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
And I think that's huge. I mean, Tillman was on board. I mean, I think that's to me, the mentality remained the same because someone had to sell Tillman on
that. But the whole spending the money thing on a big name free agent, first of all, you got Carmelo for what? The mid-level exception or the veterans minimum or whatever? Isn't that the case? I don't even know.
Which made it possible.
2.4.
Right.
Paul George and them is
right. You couldn't afford it. But they could have afforded to try to hang on to Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute.
Absolutely.
I think that they get Daryl Morey gets obsessed with a guy. Yep. He gets obsessed with a name.
My point.
As opposed to this move makes more sense.
No, I liked what Joel suggested this a couple weeks ago. Like maybe they could have offered Ariza a 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. I forgot the number he mentioned. I think you said $8 million
a year. So 1-15 is what he signed for in Phoenix, and everybody goes, he wasn't worth it. Absolutely, totally agree, right? But because Ariza is interested in the fact that he's getting later in his career, he just wants to maintain that money. You could have done between probably 8 and 9 a year for 3 years. You already are cap-strapped with going out and doing anything else because of Chris Paul. But you maintain a guy at a lesser cap rate, but just do multiple years. He'd have been fine with 27 for 3.
You think so?
I really do.
That's interesting. See, that's the big question. Would he have been okay with that number? You say he is, and that's, you know, that could be possible. I think the other way you could have done it, Joel, maybe even a $30 million deal through over 3 years, make the third year a team option. You're still guaranteeing Ariza $20 million, and it's a realistic contract. I think Ariza should be willing to accept because Chris Paul is at the end of his career, and 2 years. I mean, we hope that Chris Paul, you can get 2-3 good seasons out of
him. Here's the thing that we're missing in all that, too, because you're right, Nick, is the fact that you also maintain guys that know their roles, that know what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do, and they can execute the system on both ends of the floor. That's what we're getting back to. The crux of this is the guys you brought in don't get it. A lot of them don't want to get it, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
Somebody said, can we get Kurt Lowe's take on the Rockets?
No. Yeah, Barry would love that.
No.
Let me see if I can get him on.
That's
right
weak,
now.
Though. Carlo, you got to be calling in on any time. If Barry's here or if he's not here, that's weak.
If you're scared by a dog, Curtlo.
Ernest here. Hey, guys. Sorry I had to hang up. I'm driving right now. But what I wanted to say was that I really think if Ty Montgomery wouldn't have dropped that ball, Rodgers makes 2 throws, Crosby field goal, Green Bay would have won that game. I'm with you.
I completely agree.
I think that they were... It was looking that way. Somebody texted in, 90 in the books, 90 still to go on this Red Dead Redemption download.
That's amazing.
Now that, see?
That's
a
great
text. A weird day.
And by the way, it was the 4th verse of the song, not the 3rd.
Yeah, because I was listening to the 3rd, you a-hole.
I forgot there was 2 Scarface verses.
I'm not going through it again.
Yeah, I forgot there was 2 Scarface verses. It's Bushwick Bill's
verse. I should have listened to Joel when he gave me the advice not to listen to it.
Bushwick Bill's verse. This year, Halloween fell on the weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys were trick-or-treating.
Right, we're not going to give you any heat.
There you go. So you wanted to talk a little bit about what happened in L.A. with the Clippers and...
Pat Bev and Westbrook, if you missed it last night, got back into it. And it just, it got heated. Benches cleared. Bev was great. Pat Bev was great in the post game about not being scared. He took on the media 1-on-1 and said, go ahead, fire it at me, ask what questions. But I want to get your guys' take on this because I've always said Pat Bev's a guy that if he's on your team, you love him. But if he every other team in the league, you ain't getting any Christmas cards from him and you're not getting any love. But if he's on your squad, you love him. Now he's not on your squad anymore. So maybe we can be objective on if you didn't see the game, but you saw the play. Did you see the play in question that got everything rolling?
I did.
Your take on it?
I think it was a hustle play.
I thought it was dirty.
You did?
I did.
I thought he was diving for a ball. That's a hustle play. Pat Bev does that all the time.
But Barry, if you do that head first with your arm extended. The way he did it, with the way he threw and contorted his body, he threw his body into the sides of the knees of Russell Westbrook. It was, in my opinion, it was dirty.
Okay. Did you see it, Nick? Did you see the play?
I didn't see it. I just saw the great rant after. I kept replaying the rant. I'm trying to find it now. We'll play it in the next
So we go to break. Nick will look at the replay
Oh, it was
fantastic. Oh, my God. Fantastic. That's really? What I was talking about. Oh, yeah, nice. Because he kept going. Come on, anybody else? What do you got? What do you got for me? Because I'll answer it. Because it started with Westbrook making the rock the baby motion.
Yeah, and then he did it.
Did it back to him, but it looked more like Joe Boo going down the first baseline in Major League. If you know, anatomically, he was a little lower in the positioning.
That's funny.
And then after this play in question, it really got kind of blown up on the court. So Nick can check out the play during the break, and then we'll get the quotes for you from Pat Bev. But interesting that it hasn't gone away between Westbrook and Patrick Beverley.
I like it.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Again, if you want to join the show, Knee Deep in Hour number 2, 713-780-3776. Get something off your mind that you've had on your chest. It's an easiest way to text us or call us, and of course you can reach us at via Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, if you're looking to get into the oil and gas industry, now is the time, and UMD Academy is offering you oil and gas basics classes to get you started. When I was in oil and gas, I wish this was around at the time because it would have made my learning curve so much easier. Even being in IT, especially being in IT in the oil and gas business, man, you need these kind of classes. These classes are for non-oil and gas professionals. Some of the courses included in here are Intro to Oil and Gas, the IT Basics, Upstream Drilling, Training in the Day of the Life of a Project Engineer. They have Women in Engineering courses and so many more to get your foot in the door in the booming oil and gas business. UMD's differentiator, what sets them apart from all the others, is their commitment to the students. And what they do stuff like resume building. They'll send you through mock interviews, get you ready to go. They have career coaching. All of it out there to give you the opportunity to get involved in one of the biggest industries in this city. So don't miss out on your chance to get into oil and gas. Get out there in that business and start making some real money. It could be life-changing for you. Sign up today. Use promo code ESPN Radio, and you'll save 10% off the classes. That's promo code ESPN Radio. Save 10% off the classes to get started on your new career. Find out more today. Go to umdes.com/learn. That's umdes.com/learn.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
This is supposed to be Let's Do the Time Warp Again from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Hey, there it is! I didn't know the intro.
You guys just look for a reason to pick on me. I swear to God.
Oh, stop. I swear. Don't you guys.
Yeah.
You sound just like me.
I'm including you in this, too.
Don't you guys. No.
Don't even recognize your own song, sir.
That was your man.
Joel Blank.
Because the theme sucked, Nick.
He's a big Rocky Horror
Picture
fan.
Have you ever seen
guy.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I've never been.
I have
you know
not
what
either.
It is, right?
I've heard all about it, and they throw weenies, and they do all kinds of stuff, and there's certain cues to certain things during the show you're supposed to participate. Yes.
It's an interactive live show and movie, right?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Or a movie, yeah. But it can be a live show, too.
I've never seen it. I know there are people that just love it.
And the guy is a transvestite?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the main guy, Rocky, I don't know if that's his name.
Is he really?
I would assume if it's the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Rocky is the main guy. I don't know. But yeah, he's like a transvestite. Or yeah, he dresses up like a chick. And then people throw weenies. It's a weird. It's, I don't know.
I'm really starting to feel insecure about my music and movie knowledge. Y'all have succeeded in that.
Why?
Now
because you don't know about
back.
A transvestite that gets weenies.
Well, yeah,
thrown
I don't
at
know
him.
About that.
Sure. I think I would feel
I want
okay
the
with myself.
Show, I have not said any of this stuff.
You
I will get
said,
blamed for it.
You just said they throw
amongst
weenies.
Amongst other things,
I don't know what they throw rice. I thought they threw rice at the wedding and stuff. I didn't know about throwing weenies.
Oh, that's funny.
Leave it to the.
So I got this joke I want to run by you.
Last night, did you see this?
I saw the tweet
last night on Twitter.
That was great, Joel.
Thank you.
And then Dustin, his sources, tried to get people to tweet me jokes.
Yeah, he
which,
sure did.
Listen, I said, and this, shout out to Radu, one of our interns. He had a great idea. He said people should tweet jokes to hashtag what was it? Sinberry jokes. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Hashtag Sinberry jokes. And then we'll have Trey read them on Friday, some of the best
great
ones.
Great idea.
And I'm
like
totally
it.
Down with that. So
like
if you
that.
Guys want to tweet jokes to hashtag Sinberry jokes, we'll check them. And if there's enough or there's some good ones, we'll have Trey read your jokes on Friday for Funny Friday.
Yep.
So get in on
so
that.
So we had a little fun last night on Twitter.
Yeah, you did. Well, I think that was the most likes you've ever got on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, stop
everybody
it.
Was just like this. That was the. It was no, because it was funny. It was good.
Well, I mean,
I wasn't saying I was saying it was because it was funny.
I wasn't trying to write a joke or anything.
It was funny. It was good. It was timely and everything. Because I made some joke. What did I say? Something about, oh, I said the caravan reminds me of back when the killer bees, the African killer bees were migrating up through Mexico. It's the same kind of hysteria.
And I put, and he goes, that's hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, I got this joke I've been meaning to run by you.
Jerk.
And you can use it if you like it. I'm not just saying.
Absolute worst. All right. So the last night, big Tuesday night in the college football world, the very first college football playoff rankings for 2018 were released. What?
Okay. With all that buildup, can I just say this right off the top?
Okay. Did you watch it?
No. You know why?
Why?
Because it was an hour.
Yeah, they did.
It
that.
Was like they were doing it like it was like this big buildup. And
yeah.
We all know who the top two were going to be anyway. But do we really need an hour? I could get it when it's the last one leading into the. But come on.
Yeah, they'll start with 25,
good
24.
Lord.
Yeah. So if you're interested, your top 10, starting at number 10, according to the playoff committee, number 10 is Ohio State. Number 9 is Kentucky. Surprised me a little bit. Number 8, Washington State. Number 7, Oklahoma. Number 6, Georgia. Number 5, Michigan. Number 4, Notre Dame. Number 3, LSU. Number 2, Clemson. Number 1, Alabama. So your four playoff teams, Notre Dame, LSU, Clemson, Alabama. I think everybody's good with that. You can argue about
absolutely.
The order. You can argue about the order, and it's probably important whether you're number 3 or number 4.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I don't know. Do you want to play Alabama or do you want to play Clemson? Pick your poison.
No one wants to play Alabama right now.
Nobody wants to play. Yeah.
Is it worth mentioning their Heisman candidate hasn't played in the fourth quarter? That's why.
No one
wants to play
Alabama.
And the
funny thing is you can LSU will be one
and
done.
That's the thing.
Probably.
Did you see the percentages? The percentage at the bottom of the screen,
Alabama?
They can no the percentages of this team being a Final Four team at the end of the year as they took each team. You know what LSU's percentage of being there at the end
1%.
Is? 1%. 12.
12?
Because they could pull the upset. But then you still are going to have to get through the rest of your schedule and the SEC championship.
I was
going to
say, yeah, you got to beat them and then Georgia or Kentucky, who are the winner of that game. So
that's a shame because I really want LSU to pull the upset.
Yeah.
But it's just be happy you are where you are right now because you're probably not going to be there at the end of the year.
What's the spread in that game? Do we know?
I haven't seen the early, but I heard it. I think it has to be double digits, right?
Pulling it up right now. It is 15.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk.
Is that a night game? It's one thing to play at Death Valley. It's another thing to play Death Valley at
is.
Night.
7 o'clock game.
That's great.
At night. But 15? Man, that's
that
a is a lot in the SEC on the road against the number 3 team in the country.
Yeah, and the other thing is too, even at full strength, and I know it would make a difference when you lose.
I don't know that they're not giving enough credit to LSU.
I was going to say, but you lose white for a half. I hate that.
Yeah, that does.
You know, it's one thing if you were playing somebody else, but because it's the magnitude of this game, and because in order to pull the upset or even come close, you've got to have all hands on deck. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
I wish he was playing. And because of on top of everything else, that was a BS call that he got hit with that penalty anyway.
Right. So who's going to slide into that number? I mean, we know Notre Dame will move up a spot.
Yeah.
Assuming they win.
Right.
Michigan going to slide into number four?
I don't think they're that good.
Georgia?
I watched Wisconsin play them. They're not that good.
Okay.
You and I both agree that at the end of this thing, which is when you really should be looking at it, but at the end of this thing, I think Ohio State is the one team that has a chance to slide back in.
What's going to be interesting? No, I'm just saying next week, because we know LSU is going to lose.
Yeah.
And then next Tuesday, I think what's going to be interesting is the next two teams in line. So if you move Notre Dame up a spot to number three, right, you've got Michigan and Georgia sitting at 5 and 6 ready to move up as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Notre Dame plays Northwestern. Not a gimme, but they're going to win that game.
Sure.
Michigan is playing playing Penn State at home, number 14 ranked Penn State.
McSorley's dinged up.
Yep, and Georgia is playing Kentucky on the road.
I'm not a look. Boy. I know Kentucky's greatly improved, but I don't think they're on the level of Georgia.
But you got two highly ranked teams in Michigan and Georgia playing two ranked teams in Penn State
That's
and
great.
Kentucky. Stranger things have happened this year. Look what happened last week with all of the upsets.
Sure, and what we've always said is, you can get away with a loss early in the season, but as you get later, even a loss like this could stifle any hopes of being there at the end of the year. So that's
crazy
how you feel
for
LSU.
How crazy would that be if LSU, Michigan, and Georgia were to all lose this week? And it's possible.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
That would be wild.
All right, we got two in the books. We got 1 hour to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the final 60 minutes of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.